Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
The First Time I Met a Tall White and What He Taught Me by Forbidden Snacky. I was up early in the morning, and I found out that I didn't have to work that day, so I decided to meditate. I was just visualizing myself meditating in my astral body in outer space. This being somehow approached me from the backdrop of space, asking to connect. So I did. And I felt that this was a very tall, skinny, pale, kindly, and intelligent being, much taller than the grays that I've known. I asked what this being was curious about, and the being humbly asked me for some data. He said, "I would like to see human interaction with their pets. Is that all right?" And he gestured towards my cat, which was near my body. I looked at my cat. And the being said, "Yes," emphatically, though there were some communication errors between us. So I pet my cat and conveyed to the being how I understand my cat's cues and how we share space and affection for one another. The being was very pleased. He said, "It is the same. We call our dear animal companions differently, but the relationship dynamic is the same as the humans have for their pets. This is good data. Thank you for sharing." He was grateful to me, and I was happy to help. I decided to ask him if I could have information from him in exchange for my help, and he agreed easily, saying, "Ask anything of me." I first asked to see him more clearly, and he agreed readily. I teleported to his location with my astral body, and sensed I was on a dimly lit ship of some kind. I was immediately struck by his appearance. He was easily double my height. I'm just over 5 feet tall. He was pure white, other than his eyes. Not like a white human being, he glowed white. His skin shone with a white color, and he had a bright emanating white aura about 2 to 3 inches from his body. His eyes were dark, but I didn't get a good look at them. He was, however, tall and lanky, akin to the grays that I normally met, which were about 6 to 7 feet tall. I then asked him about his group, in the context of how it relates to other groups in space around Earth at that moment. I told him that a lot of humans on Earth were confused about the dynamics of different beings around Earth, and that if he could give me any clarifying information to communicate with my fellow humans, it would help a lot because there is a lot of confusion there. He agreed eagerly and said, "Oh, I can help with that easily." He showed me a circle and said, "Imagine that this circle represents the defining line separating the inner part where ETs that are interested in all Earth has to offer and the outer area outside the circle, where ETs that have no interest in Earth at all exist." I visualized the circle, and he added that the line itself is what separated the groups, noting that groups inside the circle that are closer to the line would be less interested in Earth than groups farther to the center of the circle. Then he said, "Now visualize a small circle in the center of the large one. That is Earth." I did that, and he projected the circle high above me, with Earth, the small circle, still inside of it. He made it huge, like a planetarium projection or display above my head. He then said, "Now I will add groups." And the large circle representation filled with a bunch of small ovals representing ET groups, some clustered near Earth, others clustered toward the outer area of the big circle. Even more were outside the circle. I asked him how many ovals or groups were outside. He laughed and said, "A truly endless amount. There is no end to all that are out there to be found." So I looked at the ovals and asked him about the ones clustered around Earth, marked by a line from Earth to them, and he said, "The ones close to Earth communicate that they walk the Earth in some sense, or have outposts on Earth, or otherwise interact with humans in some direct or physical way." He then said, "Now I will show you categories to distinguish groups." He created four distinctions and made the whole representation this 3D transparent sphere within a sphere with 3D ovals in my mind's eye. Number one, ETs interacting with humans for humanity's benefit. Number two, ETs interacting with humans for their own benefit. Number three, ETs interacting with or studying Earth life other than humans. And number four, ETs studying or interacting with Earth itself. He projected these distinctions onto the big sphere, and the majority of the 3D ovals were sorted into these categories, from Earth to farthest, with most of them being between the first two distinctions. He showed that a sizable number of groups were still not even here for humans, but just for animals, plants, Earth, etc. He also showed that some of the groups were in more than one distinction at the same time. I asked him what group was his. Where did his group fall? He then showed me that his group existed in the distinction between 1 and 3, halfway from Earth to outer space. I asked him about his group. He explained that in his civilization, it is known that all living beings occupy niches and environments that overlap with the surrounding life forms. He explained that in a forest, all creatures overlap areas and lifestyles around each other, and that in encountering and approaching or seeing each other, intrinsic boundaries are communicated between life forms. He taught me that every interaction with other creatures is actually a valuable communication that teaches other life forms my boundaries. Even if I haven't realized it or haven't intentionally tried to do that. So he continued, saying that his civilization, being aware of that, lives harmoniously with many other life forms on their planet. He explained that humans are actually already very close to living in harmony with other animals, since so many animals already share urban environments with humans, even if humans don't like that or don't see it. He explained that his group's goal, his goal, is to learn enough about humans and Earth animals to teach and show humans how to live with and how to maintain living with other creatures in a safe, harmonious, and non-polluting natural way. And to that end, he is learning about humans and their pets. I dwelled on this diagram, the sphere graph that he was still showing me, and I asked him why some, but only a small number, of 3D ovals inside the circle didn't fall into any distinctions that he made. He laughed and explained that some ETs are here to study ETs, not humans, and not Earth. I was very surprised by this, but he laughed again and said some beings or civilizations just don't prioritize humans or studying humans at all. I understood him, and I remarked how surprising it was. He said that I was right to be surprised, since these groups barely ever interacted with humans, and humans would only, if ever, see these groups in the backgrounds of ships interacting with other ETs. I asked him what type of things these outlier groups are studying, and he replied, "Some of what they're here for is so abstract, you physically can't even imagine it, even if I tried to show you." I shared my amazement with him for that, how incredible that they study or interact with things I can't comprehend, only vaguely related to Earth in any way. And he agreed with me, explaining that it is an inevitable situation for a civilization as young as humanity. I conveyed my gratitude to him, and I asked him if I could know his name, if he had one, to honor him and the knowledge he shared, and give other humans a future possibility of meeting him. He showed me a concept of some kind of physical principle, or constant, that keeps separation between distinctly different things, like matter, vibrations, and complexity, etc. I didn't quite understand, so he looked through my memories to see what I knew, and he said that his name was Surface Tension. I thanked him for his time, and he thanked me for mine, and both he and I let the connection end.
Guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
The Taco Shop from an Alternate Dimension by Tara. So this story's a little funny, but also kind of eerie. This happened to my mom back in 2004-2005-ish. We live in Southern California, and back then she had a job as a network engineer for a major telecommunications provider. This job entailed her working daily assignments at different job sites all around Southern California, and on rare occasions up in Central California. Sometimes her assignments would only be for a day, other times they would last multiple days. Her employer required all field-based engineers to commute back and forth daily, with a different commute each day. Fortunately, they provided her with a company car. With this being the era before smartphones, my mom's boss would email her the next day's assignment every evening, along with the address and how many days of work were required on the site. She would then print out a MapQuest route and head out the door with it every morning. Due to this, and the fact that she grew up in the 80s, she was pretty skilled with directions and remembering routes in detail. One day, she had an assignment in a lesser-known and sparsely populated area of San Diego County. She was driving back home after a particularly exhausting day at work and wanted something to eat for her hours-long commute ahead. She exited the freeway into an area that was pretty desolate. She saw a gas station a little ways ahead and decided to pull into the parking lot. As she pulled up, she felt too tired to even get out of the car, and wasn't really feeling like eating a gas station snack. She told me that she remembers thinking, "Tacos sound good right now. I wish there was a place nearby to drive through and get some." She drove around for a bit, looking for a drive-through, but was disappointed by how empty this area was. As she made her way back towards the freeway, she saw a tiny building with a small sign and a darkened window that said "Tacos" in bold capital letters. As she got closer, she saw that the building also had a drive-thru. She couldn't believe her luck and eagerly drove up to place her order. Once she received her food, she quickly ate it, surprised at how good everything was. To this day, she says those were some of the best tacos she's ever had. Now, here's where it gets strange. The next day, she was working on the same assignment and wanted to get those tacos on her way back home. She exited the freeway at the same place and drove down the exact route as the day before. She saw the gas station. But when she got to the spot where the taco shop should have been, there was nothing but an empty field. It seemed like the restaurant had vanished into thin air. Bewildered but determined to find it, just out of sheer curiosity at this point, she proceeded to drive up and down the freeway, taking all the nearby exits and driving around looking for this little building. She wasn't able to find the taco shop, and the more she looked for it, the more uneasy she felt. Eventually, she gave up and headed home, confused, a little unnerved, and without tacos. She still talks about her strange experience to this day, and how she has no clue what happened.
Clinton Road by Sacred Television. I used to live near an infamous road. It's a thin road with no street lines. It has only a few houses at the end, and it's lined with thick woods. There were no street lights. We heard stories like ghosts being spotted in the woods, weird beasts, creepy vibes, and a penny thrown off a small bridge coming back to you. My boyfriend and I decided to drive down it one night in his car. It was a small stick shift car. The road had several pull-offs where you could park and sit. We pulled off at the first one and took some footage of the woods. Nothing happened, so we continued driving to the next one. We parked and shut off the car. We then heard some rustling, but we both assumed it was some kind of animal moving away from the sound of the car. We sat there for a few seconds in the dark of the woods. We heard something hit the car, like a rock. We then heard the sound of several pounds on the trunk and roof. At this point, we decided to drive off. He attempted to start the car, to no avail. He tried several times before it finally started. He then put it into gear and stepped on the gas. The car stood still. I was freaking out. I told him to stop messing around. He said that he wasn't. Then the car, while still in first gear and the gas depressed, was being pulled backwards. Against all logic, the car was fighting to go forward against something that wasn't visible. The taillights lit up the forest behind us, and there was nothing there. Out of nowhere, the car miraculously jumped forward, and we drove away from the pull-off. Blown away by the experience we just had, we decided to find another pull-off. I know, this was stupid. The one we found was before the bridge, where the pennies are thrown. We toddled to the bridge and threw a penny. We heard it hit the small stream. We looked back at the car and swore that we saw someone walk behind it, so we rushed back. But there was no sign of anyone. This was the last straw, and we decided to get off of that road as soon as possible. We got in the car and sped off. As we were driving, something small hit or chipped our windshield. It didn't sound like a rock. It sounded like it could have been a penny. Whatever was on the road either wanted us gone or wanted us to never leave. And we haven't gone back since.
My Cousin's Dream by Aria. Early in 2024, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. My sister moved back home to help my mom take care of him, and throughout the year, I visited as often as I could. On May 9th, 2025, I went home for Mother's Day, and the day before my flight, my dad was admitted to the hospital for a blood clot. We thought he just needed surgery and would be going home soon. But after a few days, we learned that the cancer, which had previously resolved in his liver, had come back aggressively. There was nothing they could do. My dad called a few old coworkers and family members to tell them, and from that point until the end of his life, we had 30 to 50 guests per day. Family members, old coworkers, friends, coming to see him and tell him how much he meant to them. My cousin was among them. My cousin Kate, her mom, and her brother, Ryan, they've all had supernatural or spiritual experiences and dreams throughout my life. Kate told my sister and me that she'd had a dream about a week earlier. In it, she saw my dad's Uncle Ernie. Ernie passed away in 2010 from cancer. In the dream, Ernie told her, "I'm coming to take your uncle." Kate begged him, "Please, don't take him." Ernie replied, "I won't take him yet, but I'll take him at the end of the month." Kate told Ernie's son about the dream, and he said, "My dad's not American. He doesn't know anything about the Gregorian calendar. You have to go by the Persian calendar." The end of that Persian month was May 21st. My dad's health continued to decline dramatically. Every day he could do less. Eventually, he couldn't talk or even open his eyes. To communicate, I held his hand and told him to squeeze if he wanted something. Water, pain medicine, etc. If he moved his hand at all, I counted it as a yes. He was suffering so much as I love my dad and didn't want him to pass away, I knew dragging it out was torture. The only thing that gave me hope was Kate's dream. That maybe, just maybe, May 21st would be the end of his pain. Having an end date made it all feel less unbearable. I could handle not sleeping. I could handle staying up every night to take care of him. I could handle the helplessness. As long as I believed it would only last 10 days. But if it went on indefinitely with no end in sight, I honestly don't know how I would have survived the mental toll. People say they can't handle being with a dying family member because it's too painful to watch. For me, it was the opposite. Knowing there might be an end made it possible to be present for every second. On the morning of May 16th, before he stopped speaking completely, he asked me what day it was. I told him. He responded, weakly, 5 more days. I asked him what he meant. What was in 5 days? But he didn't have the energy to answer. He came home with hospice on May 17th. And on Wednesday, May 21st, at 2:14 p.m., my dad passed away, peacefully, at home, surrounded by his family. We had just finished praying for his brother, who was having surgery that same day. The surgery went well, by the way. I don't know if prayers work, because there were certainly a lot of people praying for my dad's healing during the 14 months he was sick. But this experience confirmed one thing for me. There is definitely more going on in this world than what we can see.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Did I experience a glitch? By Jedi 1215. I'm going to start by saying that I think the idea of parallel universes is very interesting. I love hearing people's experiences, but I haven't really bought into it yet. That being said, I did have this very wild experience yesterday, and I wanted to know what people thought. Maybe have someone calculate the probability of this happening, because now that I've really thought about it, I'm wondering, what are the chances? Yesterday, my 9-year-old son and I found a baby bunny that my dog had tried to eat. It was still alive, so we decided to take it to the wildlife rehab center in our state, which was a 50-minute drive in rush hour. We live in the Twin Cities Metro. I was essentially going from one end of the metro to the other in Friday afternoon rush hour traffic. My son gets home from school at around 2:25 p.m. We left at around 3, got there at 4, arrived home at 5:30. We're almost at the rehab place, which I'm relieved about, because traffic is insane. Normally, I handle bumper-to-bumper traffic fine, but this was a lot. I noticed a white Tesla directly in front of me with a personalized license plate that said BSTMOD. I thought, beast mode, that's kind of neat. My son was dealing with a really bad migraine, which had developed on our ride. So I kept this to myself as he was resting in the back seat. We get to the rehab place and spend about 10 minutes there. They told us about 2 gas stations where I might be able to find children's Tylenol that are really close by. They didn't have any, so we found a Walgreens. We bought some snacks and Gatorade, along with the Tylenol. I decided to use the Waze maps instead of Apple Maps, so that I could maybe avoid some of that bumper-to-bumper traffic, which means it took me on a different route home than the one I came. But a majority of it was the same. Now, while we're making our way home, we're over halfway back, and I notice a white Tesla with a personalized license plate that says BSTMOD. I say to my 9-year-old, because by this point, food, Gatorade, and Tylenol have started working and he's feeling better. That Tesla, the one that was in front of us when we were on our way to the rehab place, that's so weird. It's in front of us again. What are the chances? But really, what are the chances? 50 minutes of rush hour traffic both ways, from one end of the metro to the other, and with some stops in between. I see the exact same car, and I know this because of the license plate. I mean, it is possible, but how likely?
Three Stories by Dark Serenity. I've been listening to Odd Trails for a while now, and I finally decided to document my experiences to share with you. I have 3 stories. This first one takes place in the early 2000s. I was 12 years old, and my little sister, who has since transitioned and is now my brother, was just a few months old. For his privacy, let's call him Anthony. One night, my mom, stepdad, and I were having dinner in our tiny kitchen dining room. My older sister was at work and Anthony was asleep in my parents' room. They had the baby monitor on the table with them, just in case he woke up. We were in the middle of a conversation when, out of nowhere, a voice came through the baby monitor. It was a man's voice, crystal clear. "Peekaboo, I see you." It wasn't playful. It wasn't warm. It sounded like something straight out of a horror movie. The kind of voice you'd hear when a psycho was stalking someone. Creepy, slow, and taunting. I freaked out. Why? Because no one else was in the apartment but us. Me, my parents, and my grandpa, who was asleep in the other room. I insisted that my stepdad go and check on Anthony. He's a logical guy, so he stayed pretty chill and said, "It's probably just interference. Other baby monitors can bleed through sometimes." Sure, but there wasn't even any static. And none of our neighbors had young kids. There shouldn't have been any signal nearby to interfere. Still, I kept pushing him to go check. Eventually, he gave in. Anthony was sound asleep, alone, unbothered. After that, I begged my parents to stop using the baby monitor. They were kind enough to agree, just to give me peace of mind. Now, I'm a mom myself, and I'm also an aunt. Neither my sister nor I have ever used a baby monitor. And for anyone wondering how we keep track of our babies without one, we don't leave them alone, not even when they're asleep. Because you never really know who else might be with them. This next story happened a few years later, around 2020. I was still living on the same street where the last story happened. I was waiting outside to be picked up by some friends. At the time, the first generation of iPhones were becoming popular. I had already broken mine, and was using either a BlackBerry or a Samsung, I can't remember which. The area was kind of a dead zone for signal and Wi-Fi, but I'd never had any issues making calls. Until that night. I called my friend to see how close they were. I heard them for a split second, and then... glitching. It sounded like a computer glitching, then static. While the static was going, I could hear a muffled male voice trying to say something. I thought it was my friend, so I said, "Hello? What'd you say?" More static. Then suddenly, the muffled voice, still hidden in the noise, screamed. It was full of rage. I immediately hung up, totally freaked out. "What the hell was that?" I said out loud. I called my friend again. This time he picked up. I asked if he had gotten any of my calls, and he said no, not a single one. Trying not to sound too panicked, I asked if he was almost here. He said he was just a few minutes away. But all I could think was, if he didn't answer that first call, who did? Now for my final story. I grew up in the Bay Area, specifically in San Jose. There was this fabric store I used to go to as a kid, and even back then it gave me the creeps. In 2015, I went back there with my then-boyfriend, now husband. He was looking for some green fabric to use as a green screen while he streamed his games. We were walking through the store, going aisle to aisle. He walked ahead of me, and I trailed a few steps behind. As I turned into the next aisle, I caught something in the corner of my eye. A child running at the far end of the store. I stepped fully into the aisle and saw no one, just my husband. I stood there for a moment, confused. Where did the kid go? Then I realized something. I hadn't heard any footsteps, no sound of running, no chatter. In fact, now that I thought about it, I hadn't heard any kids at all in the store. I turned around, and for a split second, I saw a little boy behind me. He was wearing a striped shirt and shorts and had a bowl cut. I couldn't see his face, just the back of his head and hair. I quickly turned back around, heart racing. As my husband turned into the next aisle, I paused. I looked back. The boy was gone. I caught up to my husband, trying to steady my breathing. After a moment, I casually said, "Well, that was weird." He turned to me and asked what I meant. I told him, "There was a little boy behind me, for just a second." His eyes widened. "I saw him too," he said. He was running between the aisles really fast. One second he was here, then there. Then I saw him with his mom, but they left through that wall over there. "Maybe he thought you were his mom." I thought, nope, I'm not your mommy. We found the fabric we were looking for, paid and dipped out. We've never gone back.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So let's start this one off with something a little different. We get a lot of feedback on Spotify and especially in our Discord in the Odd Trails podcast channel. And I just want to kind of read off some of the things people have been saying. Jules in our Discord server, she said that, "I hope the person who sent the My Brother Visited Us reads this." And she says, "I'm a medium and I work with the spiritual realm and I've done that most of my life. This experience sounds very legit. Sometimes I get doubtful because some stories are very diverse from what I've experienced so far, but this one, I could almost see it. It's crazy. I've been the medium and done what those neighbors did several times. And sometimes people don't know that they have this ability. She couldn't have faked that. I know the afterlife exists because I deal with it daily. And I spent a good chunk of my time kind of in between. It was very refreshing listening to your story. Thank you so much. I found it really interesting that Jules said some people don't even know that they have that ability. It makes me wonder how many people are channeling spirits by accident and somehow that affects like their mood, their rage, how they respond to things, but they don't know that they're actually channeling some deceased person.
I love that idea. Just somebody who has these mystical powers without even realizing it. Somebody who probably wouldn't really deserve it, in my opinion, if you have that sort of ability and you don't even realize it, you're just oblivious.
Yeah.
But that makes for a good movie, at least.
Yeah, that is a good movie. And it's also a good excuse for
for anything, for that matter.
Yeah, exactly. I was channeling. I was possessed. It wasn't me, I promise.
Yeah, I like that. It'd be like a Idiocracy if that dude could bring about some sort of entity with a seance.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I want to address your vertigo. One of the comments on Spotify, Kayla Lockwood, she said, "I just ended up in the hospital because of vertigo. Ooh. She had it for a month. It was awful. Make sure that you check your blood pressure. I wasn't having it because of my ears. My blood pressure was crazy high. I'm in my early 30s, so it was odd." Odd Trails. "But Dramamine helps so much until you can get into the doctor. Love your guys' show. Feel better." And yeah, actually, that was one of the first questions I asked you, right? I asked you, "Hey, check your blood pressure." And you sent me a picture from the doctor's office with your blood pressure numbers, and they were normal.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's a relief. I can say that it's getting better, though, slowly but surely. I'm not really thinking about it too much. If I turn my head or do too many sudden movements, then yeah, I can definitely feel it. But my day-to-day life is mostly unaffected. I can walk pretty decently now, still some staggering, but I'm not like a complete mess anymore like I was physically and emotionally. So I appreciate all the remarks and tips that I've been getting from people. And apparently it's a lot more common than I thought it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems that way. There's a lot of comments. I can't get through all of them, but that was just one that kind of stood out for me because, like I said, I had you check your blood pressure because that's the first thing I thought of. I had really low blood pressure one day after the gym and I went directly to the sauna. And I went home and I got super dizzy. I got vertigo and I started seeing stars.
Ooh.
So I like had to lay down and it took the whole day for me to get back to normal. But I had extremely low blood pressure from just being in the sauna for too long, I guess, and not eating anything or having any electrolytes besides just water. That's one thing. If I can give people any advice, if you're working out a lot, going to the sauna, being active, get electrolytes along with your water. This is something that I had to learn about the hard way.
Yeah, I can say like the only time I've ever seen stars or got dizzy like that was from dehydration.
Yeah.
Not a fun time. Not a fun time at all.
No, it sucks.
Another comment, though, worth sharing. The Indigo Baby story, Kate actually posted a comment confirming that it was not a repeat. And it's just a story that's only been shared with her close friends. So
yeah,
that's awesome. And nobody has said anything as far as like, "I heard this story on another podcast," which, oh no. Oh,
man,
the horror.
Oh no.
But yeah, no, it's a legitimate thing. So cool. Maybe I was just imagining something else, or maybe I just thought it was so cool that I wanted it to be some sort of work of fiction like Elsewhere, because it would make such a good, that image of the child standing in the hallway, turning her head. "I'm thirsty too, mommy." Like, ooh. Chilling. Very spine tingling.
Mm-hmm. It makes me think of the little boy in Pet Sematary. Oof. I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all. I got one more final comment from somebody. This was from Ryle 16 on Spotify. They said, I was watching YouTube creepypastas when I got the distinct feeling not to watch the next one. I did it anyway, and I got the most creepy feeling that something was watching me through the window. It felt like this massive ball of dark negative energy had flown out of the woods and come to stare at me through the window. I pay very close attention to this feeling now, but who knows what could be connected to these things online. And that's actually not I don't think that's too far off from the truth. There's definitely some kind of negative energy attached to things on the internet specifically, of course.
Yeah, in this day and age, I wouldn't even be surprised if the internet itself had some sort of vessel, whatever word I'm trying to say. Like there's something going on. There's something going on online. Mm-hmm. It's cool to get on the internet, but don't let the internet get on you, or whatever it is that Prince said during like the Yahoo award ceremony in the year 2000.
I don't even remember that.
Very prophetic.
But I miss Prince.
Oh yeah, I'm a Prince guy for sure. I used to think that creepypasta was creepy pasta because people would paste them in. You know what I mean? Just a random thought.
Yeah. That reminds me of Marco's mom's pasta sauce. yeah. Anyway, now we did revisit a location that we talked about in one of our previous episodes. This was Clinton Road that Sacred Television was actually talking about. And the bridge, I believe it was called something like Penny Bridge, where the tale is you throw the penny into the water, and there was this little boy that died near that bridge. He's under the bridge waiting, and he throws the penny back up at you. And I thought that was kind of a cute little story. But yeah, they actually went to the location that we talked about in a previous episode when we were talking about haunted locations or haunted roads that we wanted to go to, like Dyer Lane.
Yeah.
So it was cool that this came back.
I had to make sure that it wasn't a repeat story because it was so familiar, but no, it's just another story that took place there.
Yeah, I had the same exact thing. Yeah.
I really want to know what sort of unseen force was dragging the car backward. Like what could possibly physically move a car in gear against the gas with no visible cause.
Yeah, that felt like a Stephen King plot point. That was pretty cool, pretty creepy. I don't know. I don't have anything. I got nothing. It's just creepy.
Yeah, we don't always need anything. We're here. We're having a good time. Just two dudes hanging out. Here's your outro, ladies and gentlemen, humans of the earth. So not to like spoil the good time or anything like that, but I suppose we can move on to the dream story sent in by Aria about her cousin's dream.
Yeah.
Definitely a heavy one. It's always sad to hear about deaths and everything like that, especially considering how it happened and everything. But I did find it noteworthy with how prophetic it seemed to be.
Yeah. I mean, what are the odds that a dream's timeline aligns perfectly with a death?
Yeah, he predicted it.
Like using the non-Gregorian calendar.
Yeah, I still don't really understand how that works. Like do the Mayans have their own calendar too? Or is that like, I really don't know.
I think they do, but we like misinterpreted it. And I guess 2012 wasn't actually the end of it. I don't know. I'm not sure. I need to watch, what's that movie Mr. Gibson did? Apocalypto.
Oh, okay. Not Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
No, but that time of year is coming up.
It is.
Yeah.
A 5-day countdown, just down. That's like pretty incredible. I could see like somebody predicting tomorrow or the next day, but 5 days is pretty specific. I wonder if there is like a greater connection to that, to the 5 days, like how somebody could possibly know 5 days. That's really, really remarkable.
Yeah, I wonder if somebody that's dying can intuitively sense their time is approaching. That's kind of strange, you know. And I want to talk about something because my dad actually told me a story recently that I didn't know about my grandfather when he was passing away. In it was maybe 16 years ago. He was on life support for a long time, and there were a couple of the family members that wanted to take him off of life support. And they were having this discussion with all of the siblings with the doctor. And the doctor was saying, you know, we'll do whatever you guys want. You know, it's up to you guys according to the law.
It's not my grandpa.
Yeah, exactly. And so my dad was like, well, why don't we try and get an answer from him, because he's somewhat responsive. Let's find out from him what he actually wants to do and not make this decision right away. And they're like, all right, we'll wait until he comes around, or if he comes around. And he finally did. And he looked at my aunt, and my aunt asked him, like, do you want us to let you go? And he like squeezed her hand really tight.
Nice.
Yeah, he suddenly got all this strength that he did not have before. He squeezed her hand and opened his eyes, and he was saying no. He was shaking his head, no, do not let me die. And it was just kind of a really touching and amazing story to think that, like, even with being completely incapacitated on your deathbed and unable to move, unable to talk, knowing that the end is coming, even in that situation, he still didn't want to go. He was still clinging to life because it was so important to him just to still be around.
It's that natural human will to live no matter what.
My wife and I always say this to each other. If I'm in that position, please just let me go. But I tell her, I'm like, you know what? After I heard that story, I think you're going to be feeling completely different about that. I think that you want to cling to life for as long as possible, no matter how hard it gets, because there's that will to live for sure.
No, I like that a lot. That's very touching. I'm going to send you a screenshot, a text message that occurred today. And please, no thoughts and prayers or any condolences. Like, I understand and all that. Like, I'm good. But here's an interaction I had with my father, because this is very relevant. Because my grandfather is like, probably in his last hour, to be honest, let alone day. But I approach things with humor. That's my coping mechanism for everything.
Me too, 100%.
So check out the text interaction I just sent you. My dad just got this Apple Watch, and the texts I've been getting from him all end with the word send. So he's like sending me all these like sad updates with send at the end. So I can't help but end my messages with send afterwards, even after. It's just, you know, how I deal with it. Like, okay, let's just like talk about your technology woes and not think about grandpa suffering. But you can see it in his face. He's ready. Yeah. He's ready.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's that look. I remember both of my grandfathers looking at just like that, 100%. So yeah, regardless, even though you said no condolences, my condolences, obviously.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
It's always rough to lose grandparents.
Yeah. Did you ever count down when it was going to be your parents or your turn? Like, did you have a relationship with your great grandparents and think, okay, well, when they die, it'll be my grandpa and then my parents and then me. So I'm going to be alive same thing. So now it's like, oh, wow. So like, it's just my dad now. Yikes.
It's very scary. Like, our parents are getting up there. It is very scary. And I don't like to think about mortality too much. I get weird. I like life.
Yeah.
I want life to keep going.
But anyway, condolences to you, Aria. Mm-hmm. Really sorry to hear about your father, and hopefully he's in a better place. And if there is such a place, I would wager to think that he's there. I don't know what kind of person he was, but I'm just going to be optimistic.
And, wow.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I said at my grandpa's funeral. That's word for word what I said. I said, if there is such a place, my grandparents are definitely there together now. That's wild. That's exactly the same thing I said. Because at the time, I was very, I was going through my very atheist phase. So I tried to be as kind as I could to, you know, my very religious family that was all there. Mm-hmm. So I said, if there is such a place, they're definitely in heaven.
And you get pulled to the side, like somebody grab you by the arm and yank you into the hallway. What do you mean, if?
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah. That's funny.
Spanked on your bottom. Well, I guess before we go, we should just at least acknowledge those three amazing stories sent in by Dark Serenity, not their real name, I should add.
Yeah.
Really cool stuff. I like San Jose. I don't have anything interesting or remarkable or intellectually powerful to throw in here, but I did like the stories a lot. Baby monitors are always cool. The phone call connecting to something that isn't part of the network, really weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some computer hacking skills can figure out what happened there.
I had a baby monitor story on Let's Not Meet that I was reminded of when I was listening back to this one. And I wish I could remember what episode it is. So if we have any crossover listeners that know about the story and which episode it's on, please let me know. It was this father, I believe, in Florida. He was a single father with his daughter. And his daughter was saying that there was a woman singing to her through the baby monitor and talking to her in this hushed voice. And
wow.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know exactly how the story ended up, but it was one of the creepier stories. So if anybody remembers that one, please let me know. And I do want to say one other thing. The prophetic dream stuff that we've been talking about a lot lately, I think that it's influencing my dreams because last night I had, and for some reason, I felt that this owl in my dream was important. I had this dream where I was next to my dog door where my dogs go in and out, and I dropped something like a big book. And what I thought was my little dog Chip jumping and yelping at me, like I scared him, was this owl that like screeched and it sounded like Chip. And it was a barn owl, one of those white flat-faced owls. And it just looked up at me. And when it looked at me, I can't explain the way that I felt. It was like it was looking directly into my soul. It was very surreal. And my wife came in. She's like, what was that? And I said, it's this owl. And I looked at it and I was expecting the owl to leave because I scared it. But for some reason, it was staying there. It was like telling me, I'm not scared. I'm here for you. And it was just like, I don't know what the dream's about, but it felt so important for some reason. And it shouldn't. This is just like a weird dream. You know, stuff like this happens to me all the time in my dreams. Why should this be important? So I'd like to ask any of our gifted listeners, if you know about dreams, about owls, if you can tell me and share something beyond what I found on the internet, which means, you know, it's about
wisdom and intuition.
Yeah, exactly. Wisdom and intuition. That those are the words I was looking for. That's all I found. But if you could be a little bit more specific, if anybody out there knows more about owls and dreams, please let me know, because for some reason this dream felt so important and I don't know any other way to explain it.
Well, you did say it was like one of those flat faced and white ones. So
yeah, a barn owl. Yeah.
Those are referred to as ghost owls. So maybe there's some tie in there.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a nickname for them. And the fact that it was a white one, maybe there's some spirituality involved with like the whole thing with purity or whatever.
Yeah.
I think just because you're thinking about the whole prophetic dream type of thing, it makes a lot of sense. It's a white flat faced owl. So mm-hmm. you got the purity there and the intuition and wisdom. So I think it might just be the owl kind of visiting you and saying, hey, I'm here. Let's go exploring. Let's explore your intuition together. I'm here for you. So some sort of like dream guide, maybe.
Okay. I like that. Oh, a dream guide. I didn't even think about that. Huh. Because I know a lot about that stuff, about dream guides and in your lucid dreams and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I have been reading a lot about lucid dreaming lately. I tend to pick up one of the many books about lucid dreaming every couple of months and go through it, because I found that even though it's a lot of the knowledge I already have accumulated from other books,
it's good to reinforce.
Yeah, it's good to reinforce it. Yeah, it's kind of like reading that The Way Out book that we've talked about.
Yeah.
And then it triggers lucid dreams again. It gets me out of my rut and I have more vivid dreams. I think that maybe this might be a dream guide. Like maybe it's like, oh no, this is what I've been looking for to help me to become more lucid and explore my dreams more. I don't know. I want to hear from the listeners. You guys always have such good wisdom and intuition.
Uh-huh.
Like my owl.
Yeah. Like your owl. Yeah, it's your protector for sure.
Yeah, so if you've got anything you want to share, please, by all means, email us at stories@oddtrails.com, or you can leave a comment on Spotify, or you can just join our Discord. The link will be in the show notes. But and if you have a story you want to share, by all means, send it to stories@oddtrails.com as well. And sign up for a Patreon if you want to get ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate at patreon.com/oddtrails. And check out all my other podcasts at crypticcountypodcasts.com. We'll see you guys next week. Everybody, stay safe.
Peace out.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.